I'd like to talk about my work on anomaly polynomial of six-dimensional supercomplex field theories. This work is in collaboration with Kantaro Omori, Hiroyuki Shimizu, and Yuji Tachikawa. And there is also a related work by Intrigue Gator. So many people are familiar with six-dimensional 2,0 supercomplex field theories. These theories have been very important in recent developments of Suzy gauge theories, and in particular, by compactifying these 2,0 theories, we can obtain a variety of theories and dualities in lower dimensions. But there are also infinitely many six-dimensional 1,0 theories. For example, they can be constructed by using five planes, such as M5 or NS5 or D5. And then, if we place these five planes on some singularities, then we get these 1,0 theories, some of these 1,0 theories. And actually, all known 1,0 theories can be constructed by using F theory. And these theories may be as interesting as 2,0 theories, so we should study them very seriously. But the properties of these 1,0 theories are not so well studied because we do not have any UV Lagrangian descriptions of these 1,0 six-dimensional 1,0 theories. So, without Lagrangians, it is not straightforward to compute some physical quantities in these theories. Then, what we have studied is we have computed the two-Hooft anomaly of these 1,0 supercomplex field theories. So, we can couple these theories to background gravity or Kleber symmetry gauge fields. Then, we obtain the anomaly polynomials of the theories under these background fields. So, in this talk, I would like to explain a general method to compute the anomaly polynomial of any known 1,0 theory. So this is the plan of the talk. First, I would like to review some basic things about six-dimensional 1,0 theories, and then I would like to discuss about the anomaly matching, which is very crucial in our work. Then I'm going to discuss some explicit methods to compute the anomaly polynomial. Okay, so in six-dimensional 1,0 supersymmetric theories, there are three types of super multiplets, which are free, at least in the IR, and which have spin less than or equal to 1. First, we have vector multiplet. And the bosonic components of the vector multiplets are just gauge fields. And next, we have hypermultiplet. And the bosonic components are two complex scalar fields, which are doublets of SU2R symmetry. And finally, we have this tensor multiplet. This tensor multiplet is something special about six dimensions. So this, the bosonic components of this tensor multiplet, we have one real scalar field, which is a singlet of any symmetry. And we also have two-form gauge field, whose field strength is self-dual. Then the important point is that the bev of the scalar in a tensor multiplet does not break any global symmetry. The only exception is that the case of 2,0 supersymmetric theory. In this case, the R symmetry is actually enhanced to SO5, and the bevel of a tensor multiplet breaks the R symmetry to SO4. But SO4 is large enough to determine the anomaly polynomial of SO5 completely. This is because the Cartan of this SO5 is the same as the Cartan of SO4. So this is not a problem. And all known interacting 1,0 supersymmetric theories have the so-called tensor branch as part of the moduli space of Bakia. So this is the branch in which tensor multiplets have a non-vanishing vacuum expectation value. And on this tensor branch, if we go to the IR limit, then the theory becomes almost free, and the theory consists of just vector multiplets and hyper multiplets and tensor multiplets. So we have this UV interacting superconformal field theory, and we do not have any UV Lagrangian description. But if we go to the tensor branch, then the IR theory is almost free. So everything is computable in this IR theory. And as I said, on this tensor branch, no global symmetry is broken. So the anomaly must match between UV theory and IR theory. So this is just the two-hoofed anomaly matching. So in this way, the anomaly polynomial of UV superconformal field theory should be computable by using the IR effective theory. But this is not so straightforward, because we have a Green-Schwarz contribution to the anomaly. In the tensor multiplet, we have this two-form gauge field whose field strength is self-dual. Then, by using this two-form gauge field, we can write down this form of coupling. Here, this B2 is a two-form gauge field in the tensor multiplet, and this I4 is some four-form constructed from background gravity and flavor fields. Then if we have this coupling, then the Green-Schwarz contribution to the anomaly is given by the square of this two-form, of this four-form, up to some quotient, which I'm not going to discuss today. So this can be roughly understood in the following way. So we have this coupling, and then this coupling modifies the equation of motion, and we get this equation of motion. But this H3 is a three-form field strength. And this three-form field strength this satisfies the self-duality condition. So from this equation of motion, we get this Bianchi identity of this three-form gauge field. And then the solution of this Bianchi identity is given like this. Here, this I3 is a three-form whose exterior derivative is given by this four-form. And also, this three-form must be gauge invariant under the gauge transformation of background field. So under the gauge transformation of background fields, this two-form gauge field must transform like this. Here, this I2 is determined by the descendant equation like this. The exterior derivative of this I2 is given given by gauge transformation of this I3. And then the gauge variation of this coupling is given like this. Then by uplifting this, so this is the anomaly. And then by uplifting this anomaly to 6 plus 2 dimensions by the usual descendant equations, we get this anomaly polynomial. So the UV anomaly polynomial is given by the sum of two terms. The first term is just a one loop anomaly of vector, hyper, and tensor multiplets, and they are explicitly known. So to compute the anomaly polynomial of the UV theory, we only need to determine this four-form to compute the UV anomaly. Okay, now I would like to discuss a method to compute the Green-Schwarz contribution explicitly. The first method uses dimensional reduction to 5 dimensions. So in 6 dimensions, we have this coupling. And then if we compactify this 6-dimensional theory to 5 dimensions, then we get this form of Chan-Simons term in 5 dimensions. Here, this A is a U1 gauge field of 5-dimensional vector multiplet. And this vector multiplet comes from the 6-dimensional tensor multiplet. Then we can determine this four-form by computing this Chan-Simons term in 5 dimensions. Now, let's suppose that the S1 compactification of our 6-dimensional superconformal field theory gives some 5-dimensional super-Yamilis theory. So for example, in the case of the 2,0 theory, we get maximal super-Yamilis theory by S1 compactification. And in the case of the so-called E-string theory, in this case, if we include some appropriate holonomy around the S1 direction, this theory becomes SPN gauge theory with an anti-symmetric representation and 8 fundamental representation hypermultiplets. So at least in these cases, we get super-Yamilis theory in 5 dimensions. Then we go to the Coulomb branch of these 5-dimensional super-Yamilis theory. And then we compute the triangle diagram like this. So we compute the triangle diagram of this U1 field on the on the Coulomb branch and two background fields. Then this diagram gives Chan-Simons term like this. Yes.
Whose web doesn't break any symmetries.
Yes.
Is there an interpretation of that scalar field from the point of view of the name of scalar? What is that scalar field?
Scalar field. Does it descend to
something interesting?
So the scalar field in the tensor multiplet becomes adjoint scalar field in 5 dimensions of the vector multiplet. And yeah, that adjoint scalar field is. Yeah, charged under the gauge group, but it is not charged under, at least, it is not charged under the Frobenius symmetry. So what we are doing is summarized here. So in 6 dimensions, this coupling between 2-form and 4-form is this is given by some difficult dynamics, which we do not know how to solve directly in six dimensions. But by S1 compactifications, this difficult dynamics is just replaced by one loop computation in five dimensional super-image theory. So as an example, I would like to discuss UN type 2,0 theory. So this UN type 2,0 theory is realized by n coincident M5 lengths. And by S1 compactification, this becomes five dimensional UN super-image theory, which is realized by coincident D4 lengths. Then in this theory, we go to the Coulomb branch by giving this form of adjoint scalar waves. And without loss of generality, we can take the waves in this order. And then let's consider the case U1 gauge field on the Coulomb branch. Then from the point of view of this case U1 gauge field, we have k minus 1 gauge nodes of positive charge and n minus 1 gauge nodes of negative charge. So we have n times n matrix of gauge nodes because this is a UN gauge theory. And then these positive and negative charged gauge nodes come from these components of the matrix. And these gauge nodes have positive masses. And there are also gauge nodes with the signs of mass and charge flipped from these gauge nodes. But these gauge nodes contribute the same amount as these gauge nodes. Then for concreteness, I consider here SU to R symmetry background field. Then this triangle diagram is proportional to this Chan Simons term. Here, this FR is a background gauge field strength of this SU to R symmetry. And this factor is because we have k minus 1 positive gauge nodes and n minus k negative gauge nodes. Then the Green-Schwarz contribution can be computed by the sum of squares of this factor. And by computing this, we get this anomaly polynomial. And in particular, this contains this n cubed term. So in this way, we can reproduce the famous n cubed behavior of the 2,0 theory. And I just discussed the UN type 2,0 theory, but in the same way, we can also consider any 2,0 theory and E-string theory. And the results really reproduce the known or conjectured anomaly polynomials in the literature.
What would happen if I had SUN? Would it change the Green-Schwarz contribution?
SUN is almost similar to this case.
Does it?
So U1 is actually decoupled.
Yeah.
So the Green-Schwarz contribution is, I think, given by completely this contribution.
Yeah.
And there is also a one-loop contribution. And the SUN and UN differs only by that.
The coefficient of that guy will change.
Okay. Next, I would like to discuss the method which uses gauge anomaly cancellation. So on the tensor multiplet, we typically have vector multiplets and hypermultiplets in addition to the tensor multiplets. And the fermions in these multiplets, such as gauge nodes, they are charged under the non-abelian gauge groups. So they have gauge anomalies. So this is because the fermions in these super multiplets have chiralities. So they are one loop anomalies. They are anomalous. So and the gauge anomaly must be cancelled by the Green-Schwarz contribution to the anomaly. And for simplicity, for the time being, let's only consider the case of a single gauge group and single tensor multiplet. Then the one loop anomaly is given schematically by this form. So here, this Fg is a gauge field strength, and this x and y they are 4-form and 8-form, which depend only on background fields. And here, this first term must be a perfect square. This fact that this first term is a perfect square is required by the Green-Schwarz mechanism to work. So otherwise, we cannot cancel the gauge anomaly, so the theory is just inconsistent. And this requirement that this is a perfect square is a non-trivial constraint on the gauge group and matter content. So we have this one loop anomaly, and the terms involving this gauge field strength must be cancelled by the Green-Schwarz contribution, which is a square of some four-form. Then this this uniquely determines this four-form like this. So by requiring that this Green-Schwarz contribution cancels this term and this term, the Green-Schwarz contribution is uniquely determined like this. And then by adding this one loop contribution and Green-Schwarz contribution, we get the anomaly polynomial, which only depends on the background fields. So in this way, just from the one loop anomaly polynomial, we can obtain the total anomaly polynomial. Okay, so as an example, let's consider quiver gauge theory in type 2A string theory. So we consider a system in which we have NS5 brains and D6 brains placed in this way. And then this is SUN gauge theory. This SUN gauge group comes from this D6 branch between this NS5 branch. And we have 2N fundamental hypermultiplets, which comes from these points of intersections of NS5 branch and D6 branch. And we also have one tensor multiplet, which is a distance between these two NS5 brains. And the interacting superconvolved field theory can be obtained when the NS5 brains coincide. And here I only discuss the case of two NS5 brains, but generalization to more than two NS5 brains is straightforward. So in this theory, we have these one loop anomalies. The Gagey nodes are in the adjoint representation of the Gagey group. So these traces are in the adjoint representation. And this n squared minus 1 is just the dimension of the adjoint representation. And the hypermultiplet in the fundamental representation. So we take the trace in the fundamental representation. And the Gagey nodes are SU2 doublet, SU2 R symmetry doublet. And here I only consider SU2 R symmetry for simplicity. And then in the anomaly polynomial of Gagey nodes, we have these terms. But the fermions in the hypermultiplet are singlets of SU2 R symmetry. So we only have this term. And then we have these group theory relations. So in particular, this minus the trace in the adjoint representation of the fourth power of the field strength plus this 2n times the trace in the fundamental representation is given by a perfect square. And this is precisely as required by the Green-Schwarz mechanism. Then by using these relations, these equations, we get this one loop anomaly polynomial of this Gagey nodes and the hypermultiplets. And we also have a tensor multiplet, but the contribution of the tensor multiplet is just order one. And then the Green-Schwarz contribution must cancel this perfect square term. So this Green-Schwarz term is uniquely determined to cancel this term, and we get this anomaly polynomial. So in this way, we can determine the anomaly polynomial, and we can do the same computation for Q NS5 brains, and then we get this term as a leading contribution in that case. Okay, next, let's consider more general cases, general case in which we have several gauge groups and several tensor multiplets. So let's assume that the number of gauge groups is given by this Ng, and the number of tensor multiplets is given by this Nt. Then, one more important point is that at least in all the known theories, the matrix here appearing in this quotient is non-degenerate. I mean, this is the determinant of this matrix is non-zero. Then, if the number of the gauge group is larger than the number of the tensor multiplet, we cannot, it is impossible to cancel the gauge anomaly. So this case has a gauge anomaly, so, and inconsistent, so this case is excluded. And if the number of the gauge group is equal to the number of the tensor multiplets, then in this case, the anomaly is canceled in a unique way because the Green-Schwarz contribution must be this form of kind of perfect square. So then in this case, Green-Schwarz contribution must be the same as this term, and then we uniquely get this anomaly polynomial. So in this case, just from the one loop anomaly polynomial, we can determine the total anomaly polynomial. And finally, if the number of the gauge groups is less than the number of the tensor multiplet, then we can cancel the anomaly, but the anomaly cancellation does not determine the Green-Schwarz contribution uniquely. So in this case, we need additional information to determine the Green-Schwarz contribution. Yes?
Do you know any example of a 61-zero theory with more within typical energy?
This case?
Yeah.
Yes. This is a typical case if we consider some F-theory construction.
But then the filter is probably strongly trapped in matter.
So we have, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to.
I will discuss that point, yes. But here I'm talking about, so we have E-string theory as a strongly interacting matter, but we can go to the tensor branch of the E-string theory, then everything is weakly coupled, and we have this situation.
So your situation of the IR is weakly coupled, and more
flexible. I will discuss that point. Yeah, later. Yeah. So let's consider more general case. So all known six-dimensional superconformal field theories can be constructed by using F theory on this background geometry. Here, this is an elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau threefold over some base manifold B, which has complex dimension 2. And this base manifold contains intersecting two cycles, like in this figure. And the size of each cycle is given by a scalar field, a bev of a scalar field in a tensor multiplet. So corresponding to each cycle, we have a tensor multiplet. And so the number of the tensor multiplet is the same as the number of cycles. And some cycles have a simple gauge group due to some singular fibers in F theory. And other cycles have no gauge group at all. And then if we shrink all the cycles, then we get interacting superconformal field theory. And if we go to, and generic points of the tensor branch corresponds to the case that these cycles have finite size.
So when you go into the generic point of the tensor branch, do you still have strongly interacting matter?
If we really go to the generic points, we don't have any strong the interacting matter fields.
So it just happened to move to that gauge
group? Yeah.
That gauge field?
Yeah, just weakly coupled the hyper multiplets and gauge multiplets and tensor multiplets. And I'm not going to discuss more details, but the details can be found in the paper of Heckman-Morrison Buffer. And so from this figure, it is obvious that the number of gauge groups is always less than or equal to the number of tensor multiplets. For example, in this example, we have these 7 gauge groups. This G1, G2, dot, 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 G7, they are gauge groups. And there are 7 gauge groups. And the number of tensor multiplets is the same as the number of the cycles. And we have, in this example, we have 9 cycles. So we always have this inequality. But we want the situation in which the number of the gauge group and the number of the tensor multiplet are the same, so that the anomaly cancellation by Green-Schwarz contribution proceeds in a unique way. So for this purpose, we shrink the cycles which do not contain gauge groups. So we shrink the cycles here and here, which do not contain gauge groups, and then we get this kind of Then we get this situation, and then it is known that the cycles which are shrunk become E-string theories. So here, the strongly interacting matter appears. If we shrink those cycles, then we get this strongly interacting E-string theories. And then in this figure, we can consider the E-string theories as a kind of bifundamental matter fields of this Cuiper gauge theory. So for example, the E-string theory here is a bifundamental field of this gauge field G2 and G3. So by considering these E-string theories as matter fields, we can realize the situation in which the number of the gauge group and the number of the tensor multiplet are the same. So we can compute the complete total anomaly by using this formula. In this one loop term, this one loop term now contains the contributions of the E-string theory. And the anomaly polynomial of the E-string theories was already computed. It was first computed by Omori Shimizu Tachikawa, and it can be also computed by the first method of this talk. And then the Green-Schwarz contribution is uniquely determined by gauge anomaly cancellation. So in this way, we can compute the anomaly polynomial of any superconformal field theory which have F theory construction. It's a little early, but let me summarize my talk. I described a general method to compute the anomaly polynomial of any known six-dimensional superconformal field theory, and in that method, the anomaly matching of the UV and IR theories on the tensor branch and the Green-Schwarz contribution of the IR theory are the crucial ingredients. And here is some interesting future directions. First, it is interesting to consider compactification of these six-dimensional 1,0 superconformal field theories to 4 or other space-time dimensions. So in the case of 2,0 theories, we have already obtained many interesting results. So we may hope that similar things can be possible in other 1,0 theories. And in particular, the anomalies of these lower dimensional theories obtained by compactification of 6D 1,0 theories, they are related to the anomalies of six-dimensional theories. So then our results are useful in computing the anomaly polynomial of lower dimensional theories. And another interesting direction is about central charges of six-dimensional supercomplex field theories, and in particular the A theorem in six dimensions. So in the case of four space-time dimensions, the central charges or central charges A and C are related to the coefficients of the anomaly polynomial in n equal 1 superconformal field theories. So similarly, we can expect that the central charges of six-dimensional theories are related to the coefficient of the anomaly polynomials. And then if that is really the case, then we can use our results to check the A theorem, whether A theorem is really valid or not in six dimensions. Okay, that's all. It's very early, but thank you very much. Yes.
So how should I understand the E-string theories? So these are six-dimensional CFTs?
Yes.
With the tensor branch?
Yes.
When you move in the tensor branch, you only have upper movements. I mean, how do they look like in the tensor branch? They look like a particular single model?
No, it's just... E-string theory on the tensor branch is just some pre-tensor multiplets and no gauge group and I think no hypermultiplets. In the IR limit, I mean.
Okay, so you're saying that it looks like just the free tensor multiplet with some massive strings?
Yeah.
No other particles.
Yeah, no other, yeah, particles, yes. Yeah, at least there is no gauge multiplets. E-string theory is kind of similar to 2,0 theory. So in the case of 2,0 theory, in that case, we have hypermultiplets.
Yes.
So, okay, sorry. Maybe there are hypermultiplets. Sorry. Yeah. But there is no vector multiplets.
What's the simplest string theory? What's the simplest
string theory? Simplest string theory can be obtained by single M5 brain, which is placed on the Ojava Witten end of the world brain.
Okay.
Yeah, and the tensor branch corresponds to the case that the M5 brains are
separated
from the Ojava Witten.
What does the tensor branch look like out? Like look like half line.
Yes.
Question? Not that. Let's thank Kazuo again.